Our text for this morning is verse 24 and verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me read those verses with you again. It says, "And when he," that's the Lord Jesus, "had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now these two verses, which are really our text and the verses we want to base our message upon this morning, are part of the divine record concerning the Lord's Supper. Let me say today that the Lord's Supper is one of two ordinances that are to be observed by the Church of Christ, the other ordinance being the ordinance of baptism. And here in verse 23 of this chapter, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian believers how he obtained his knowledge that he imparts to them about the Lord's Supper. Look at what he says to them there in verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." And there he tells them that his knowledge about the Lord's Supper had been revealed unto him by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yes, it was the Lord himself who has instituted the Lord's Supper for his church. And that institution took place at the Passover feast when Christ was betrayed on the eve of his sufferings on the cross. Look again at what Paul says there in verses 23 and 24 and 5. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." If you turn your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel chapter 26, if you look there at verses 26 to 29 of that chapter, and it deals there with that occasion, the Passover feast, the eve of the Lord's crucifixion, the night of his betrayal, when the institution of the Lord's Supper was instituted, you'll see there that from those verses how the only two substances that are to be used in the commemoration of the Lord's Supper are the substance of bread and wine. The bread is but a symbol of the body of Christ, and the wine is but a symbol of the blood of Christ. Look at what Jesus says there in verse 26 of Matthew 26. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body." And there you see how he tells the disciples that the bread is but a symbol of his body. Again in verse 27 it says, "And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And again you see there from verse 28, he tells them how the wine, the cup, is but a symbol of his blood shed for the remission of sins. Then in verse 29 he says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And there you see who makes mention in that final verse 29 of the fruit of the vine. What is the fruit of the vine? It's the juice of the grape. It is wine itself, and how wine and bread are the only two substances to be used in the observance of the Lord's Supper. Dear people, from these verses surely we see that the Lord's Supper is not an ordinance that is invented by man. Rather, it is an ordinance from the Lord himself. It is an ordinance that has been ordained and by the Lord. This morning, as we look at the words of our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, I want us just to see what the Bible has to say to us about a right observance of the Lord's table. Next Sunday morning, God willing, we will be meeting around the Lord's table. And my, in preparation for that gathering, it's important for us to consider what the Bible has to say in its teaching regarding the Lord's table. Our text this morning in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, Jesus says, "This do in remembrance of me." My, if we are to remember the Lord's table aright, then I believe there are four important truths we need to consider as a congregation from the Word of God. What are those truths? Well, first of all, I want you to see the people who are eligible to partake at the Lord's Supper. Who are the people who are eligible for the Lord's table? Well, again, back in Matthew chapter 26, in the verse 26, it says this: Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples. Notice the mention there of the disciples in Matthew 26, verse 26. And that shows to us that the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, is for the Lord's people. Now, with the exception of Judas Iscariot himself, that false professor, the rest of the disciples, who were they? They were followers of Christ. They were those who were born again of the Spirit of God, saved by God's grace, those who were trusting in the Lord as their Savior from sin. They were the Lord's people. And again, that's how it is with these people to whom Paul is writing to in the words of our text. And in this chapter, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, Paul here is writing to those who were saved. Those who had called upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself for their salvation. If you turn back to 1 Corinthians in the chapter 1 and the verse 2, you'll see this from what Paul says about these people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the very first chapter of this book, and the verse number 2, notice what he says about this people to whom he writes. He says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place," notice it, "call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." What was the mark of this people to whom Paul writes? They had called upon the Lord to be their Savior. They called upon the Lord for their salvation. That was the mark of them as the children of God. And people, that is the mark of God's people wherever they are to be found. Remember what it says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 about God's people? There you have the mark of God's people set before you very clearly. It says this: "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And those verses tell us that God's people are such who are born of God. That means born again of the Spirit of God. God's people are such who have received Christ by faith. They have trusted Christ as their own and personal Savior. There you see very clearly, dear people, that the Lord's table is only for those who are saved by the grace of God. God's saved people. It is only for those who are born again of the Spirit of God. It is only for those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Let me say to you in the meeting this morning, if you are still unsaved, you cannot sit at the Lord's table. For you to partake of this ordinance and partake of the Lord's table, you must be saved. That's the teaching of the Bible. It says you must be born again. You must have received Christ by faith and trusted him as your own and personal Savior. It's sad to say, in many Protestant churches right across our land today, in each Lord's Day, there are many, many unsaved people. And they sit at the Lord's table. And they are encouraged and invited to do so by their own ministers. People, such practice is wrong. Such practice is unscriptural. Indeed, this is one of the main reasons why God's people are to separate from these liberal ecumenical churches. That's one of the main arguments for God's people to separate from such churches. Turning your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse number 11. I want you to see what Paul says here. Again, he's speaking about the Lord's table. And look at what he says in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat." There in that verse, Paul tells God's people not to fellowship around the table of the Lord with those who are living in open sin and open rebellion against God and His Word. Dear people, that is one of the main reasons why God's people are commanded by God Himself to separate from liberal churches where unsaved people living in open rebellion to God's Word are invited and encouraged by their ministers and by their churches to attend the Lord's table. It is an unscriptural practice. Unsaved man, woman, young person, let me say to you this morning, to partake of the Lord's table, you must be saved by the grace of God. Let me also make it abundantly clear to you that there is no salvation for you in the actual partaking of the Lord's Supper. And again, many people believe that because of false teaching that goes from pulpits across our land, they're told, "Oh, if you come to the Lord's table, you're made a child of God." Sitting at the Lord's table cannot make you a child of God. Friend, you can only be saved from your sin by you coming in faith as a repentant sinner to Christ. And in coming to Christ, you must confess your sins to Him by faith, and by faith trust of His righteousness alone to justify you before God. You must trust in the blood of Christ alone to cleanse away your sin before Almighty God. The Bible speaks of Christ in Acts chapter 4 and the verse 12, and it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Christ is the only one who can save you. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You can only be in heaven if your faith is in Christ, the Savior. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." You can only be saved, friend, by trusting in Christ alone as your Savior, as we were singing about earlier, resting upon Him alone for your salvation. People, let me make it clear to each and every one this morning. The only people who are eligible to sit at the Lord's table and to partake of the Lord's table are those saved by the grace of God, redeemed by the blood, trusting in Christ as their Savior. But notice secondly this morning the reason why God's people are to observe and partake of the Lord's table. What are the reasons? Well, one of the reasons is this very fact that God's people are commanded by the Lord Himself to observe the Lord's table. Look at the final words of verse 24 there. It says, "This do in remembrance of me." That's a command from the Lord to His people. Christian, when you sit at the Lord's table, you are obeying God's will for your life. You're obeying God's word for your life. Another reason is because God's people are to keep the Lord's table regularly. Look at verse 26 of the chapter. Notice the mention of the word often. Paul says, the Lord says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." Notice the word often. Christian, let me say this to you this morning. The Lord's table is an ordinance that you are to regularly engage in. You are to come regularly to the Lord's table. It's not to be a one-off experience like the ordinance of baptism. Let me say this, Christian, by doing so, you'll be following the example of the early New Testament church itself. Turn back to Acts chapter 2 and the verse number 46 and look at the marks of the early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Notice what it says about them. It says, and they, notice it, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were regular in their attendance at the Lord's table. This was something that was part of their life, week by week, in the work of God in the early church. Another reason also, God's people are to observe the Lord's table when they come together for worship. Go back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And that whole chapter, people, is all about public worship. The early part of that chapter speaks of how ladies in public worship are to have their head covered. Then Paul deals with the Lord's table. But look at what he says in verse 33 of the chapter. He says, wherefore, my brethren, notice it, when ye come together to eat, tarry one from another. Notice that little phrase, come together. It concerns the matter of public worship. Let me say that the Lord's Supper is only to be administered when His people come together for public worship. That is why, as a minister, I will not administer the elements of the Lord's Supper to an individual believer in the home or in their hospital bed or wherever. Because it is only for the Lord's people when they come together for public worship. Go back to verse 7 of Acts chapter 20, and you'll see that was so again in the early New Testament church. Notice what it says about them. It says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. The first day of the week is the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, the Sunday. They were gathered together, what for? To hear Paul preaching God's word. It was a public meeting of God's people, and there they observed the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. There you see very clearly how the early church observed the Lord's table and the Lord's day when they were gathered in a public fashion to hear the preaching of God's word. And then there's another reason as well why God's people are to observe the Lord's table, because in doing so they are to remember the very person of Christ, the very work of Christ Himself. Look again at what the Lord says in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11. He says, this do, notice it, in remembrance of me. Look at the end of verse 25. He says, this do as often as ye drink it. Notice it. In remembrance of me. People, when we gather around the Lord's table as God's people, we come to remember who? Who do we come to remember? We come to remember the Son of God. We don't come to remember the church or man. We come to remember the Son of God. The Son of God who loved us. The Son of God who gave Himself for us. We remember a sinless person. Remember what Paul said about the person of Christ in verse 26 of Hebrews 7. He said, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. And child of God, it's by faith in the perfect righteousness of Christ that you, a guilty sinner, are now accepted as righteous before God. The Bible says in verse 4 of Romans 10, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Not only do we remember His person at the table, we remember His death, His awful death upon the cross. The Bible speaks of Christ in Isaiah 53, and what does it say? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. O believer, by faith and the shed blood of Christ and His sacrifice, all your sins have been forgiven before God. You have been made right with God. You've been made nigh unto God. You've been saved from the wrath to come and are sure of heaven through what Christ has done on the cross. Turn back again to Matthew 26 and notice how the Lord makes that very clear as He institutes the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Look at what He says to His disciples in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 26. He says, for this is my body of the New Testament. Notice it. Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Christian, your sins have been remitted, pardoned through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ you're made nigh unto God. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ, Christian, you're saved from hell. You're saved from burning in the pit. You're saved from the wrath to come. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. He says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And child of God, it is through the blood of Christ that you have an inheritance in heaven. Turning your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look with me here at the words of Peter as he opens this great epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at what he says to God's people in verses 2, 3 and 4 of that opening chapter. Notice the connection of heaven and the blood of Christ. It says in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, elect. And people, that's a word for God's people. It's a word that God's people are not to shy away from and be ashamed of. It's a scriptural word. An election, an elect means that God has chosen his people in salvation from before the very foundation of the world and has brought them in faith and in repentance unto the Lord. But what of the elect? What's the marks of them? Look at what he goes on to say. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling, notice it, of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Christians, see there that your inheritance in heaven is linked to Christ, his death, his shedding of his blood, the sprinkling of his blood, and his resurrection from the grave. Oh, Christian, by the precious blood of Christ, dear child of God, you've been redeemed. Yes, you can sing and say with the hymn writer, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. And let me say this, dear child of God, by keeping the Lord's table, what do you testify? You testify to your family. You testify to your community and to the wider world at large, that you as an individual are trusting in the redeeming work of Christ alone for your salvation. Christian, by you coming to the Lord's table each month as we meet here on the table, you're a witness to others. You tell to others of your saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Then there's another reason as well why God's people are to partake of the Lord's table. For in doing so, they will be reminded of the Lord's return. Look at what the Lord says in verse 26 there of 1 Corinthians 11. He says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. As we gather around the table of the Lord, we keep before us the great truth that Christ is coming back again in power and in glory. In essence, we're heeding the command of Scripture in Titus 2, verse 13, where it says there to God's people, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ has instituted the Lord's table to help his people, to help you and I who are saved, to remember that we don't belong to this world, that we're just pilgrims, and that Christ is coming back again in power and in glory and in judgment. The reason for attending the Lord's table, the people who are eligible. But notice thirdly this morning, the manner in which God's people are to attend the Lord's table. And the chapter shows us here that God's people are not to come in a careless fashion. They're not to come in a profane or reverent manner. To do so is to partake unworthily. Look at what Paul says there in verse 27 of the chapter. He says, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, sadly, this was the case with the Corinthian church at this particular time. They were coming to the Lord's table in a profane or reverent manner. All sorts of problems were found amongst those at that particular time. And what did that mean? The consequence was this. They brought God's judgments upon them as a people. For look at what Paul goes on to say in verse 29 and verse 30 about this matter. He says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And that word damnation there that you find there in verse 29 in the context of this chapter, it does not refer to the eternal damnation of the soul in hell. Rather, in the context of the chapter, it refers to God's chastening. The chastening of God's judgments upon his own people. And in chastening the Corinthian believers for their irreverence at the Lord's table, what did God do? We're told there in verse 30, God smote some of them with bodily sickness. And others he took away in death from this very scene of time. And brethren and sisters in Christ, there we see that when we come to the Lord's table, we must come with reverence. We must come with godly fear. We must come with prayerful hearts. We must come with humble hearts before the Lord, thanking the Lord for His saving grace and for His keeping mercy. You'll notice there in verse 24, as the Lord speaks of the institution of His table, that He gave thanks. It says, "And when He had given thanks." And surely if Christ gave thanks at the table of the Lord, how we must come with thankful hearts for His saving mercies and His saving grace in our lives. Oh, as we come to this table, dear people, let us remember that we come in and through Christ. That our acceptance at this table is not in and of ourselves. None of us are worthy in and of ourselves to attend the Lord's table. But through Christ, we are made worthy. Through Him, we are accepted to come to the Lord's table. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 of God's people, it says, "Of God, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Oh, Christian, may this encourage you to attend the Lord's table, that your acceptance, your worthiness isn't in yourself. It's all in Christ. It's all through Christ. But also in coming to the Lord's table, this passage tells us that we must come with a spirit of self-examination before we partake. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Notice what Paul says. He says, "But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Before we partake, there must be an examination of ourselves. Dear people of God, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we must, it says, examine ourselves. Let me say, when we come to the Lord's table, we don't come to examine the preacher or the minister. We don't come to examine the elders or the deacons. We don't come to examine our fellow believers or our neighbors. No, we must, it says here, examine ourselves. That's what Paul says. And in examining ourselves, we must confess to the Lord our own sins, our own faults, our own failings, our own shortcomings as the Lord's people. We must own before the Lord our sins of commission and our sins of omission. What are sins of commission? These are things that we ought not to have done as the people of God. What are sins of omission? These are things that we should have done as God's people, yet we've neglected them. People, this is how God tells you and I to come to the Lord's table, examining ourselves. I believe we should come like David of old, turning your Bible back to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and look with me at verse number 23. And verse 24, David says, "Search me, O God." David was a man after God's own heart. "And know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Oh, dear people, in confessing our sins to God as His people, let us ask the Lord to cleanse us afresh in His precious blood. This is vital if our fellowship with the Lord is to be maintained. This is vital if we're to partake of the Lord's table aright. Let us ask for fresh supplies of grace as God's people to live for the glory of God day by day. I've often said to you here as Christians to study the shorter catechism and what advice there is for God's people in every aspect of the Christian life in the shorter catechism. And this is what answer 92 of the shorter catechism says about God's people and the manner in which they come to the Lord's table. This is what it says. It says, it is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper that they examine themselves of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body, of their faith to feed upon him, of their repentance, love, and new obedience, lest coming unworthily, they eat and drink judgment to themselves. And people, that's good advice for every one of us, whether we're recently saved or saved a long time, as we obey the ordinance of partaking of the Lord's Supper. The manner in which we take of this supper, the reasons for doing so, the people who come to it. But notice finally the blessing of observing the Lord's Supper. What are the blessings? Well, I believe there's closer fellowship for God's people with the Lord and with His people. Believer, as we examine ourselves before the Lord, as we seek that fresh cleansing in the blood of Christ, we'll be drawn closer to the Lord. We'll be drawn closer to His people. Remember what John says in 1 John chapter 1 and the verse number 7. Speaking there specifically to God's people, he says this: but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, our fellowship will be maintained with the Lord, and our fellowship with God's people also will be increased. Something else, the believer will be strengthened in their faith. Turn with me in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 40. And look with me at that great promise at the end of that chapter in verse number 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Christian, as you and I wait around the table of the Lord with His people, as we would consider afresh what the Lord has done for us in salvation, we'll be edified and strengthened in our faith. We'll be better equipped as God's people to serve Him in this evil and ungodly world, and to live for Him. We'll be strengthened. This is one of the means that God has ordained for the strengthening of His people, the strengthening of His church, attendance at the Lord's Supper. But there'll be something else. Yes, we'll be increased in our fellowship with God. We'll be strengthened in our faith. But I believe it leads to greater blessing in the work of God at large. You turn with me again back to Acts chapter 2. Look at what it says there about the early New Testament church. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 47, the end of that chapter. You read there of the early church, and it says of them that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice what it says: and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What was one of the reasons that led to this growth in this little church in Jerusalem? One of the reasons is because what the Holy Ghost says in verse 42 of the same chapter. Look at what it says there about this church. It says they continued steadfastly, notice it, in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching, the truths of God's word. And fellowship, they met together regularly with God's people for worship. Notice it, and in breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. In essence, dear people, here was a church that was obedient to the Lord, obedient to God's word. I'm sure, dear people, if I were to ask you, I'm sure you'd all say yes. Yes, we want to see God's work grow here, not just numerically, but spiritually, and to prosper. I'm sure that's the burden of every child of God in this congregation this morning. Well, people, what's the key to that growth? What is one of the keys to that growth? It's found there in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. It is by being faithful in our attendance to the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Yes, being faithful in prayer, being faithful in fellowship, being faithful to God's word, but also being faithful to the Lord's Supper. As we remember Christ. Oh, child of God, until the Lord comes or until He calls you home to glory, let us be faithful and diligent in our attendance at the Lord's Supper. And doing so, we bring great honor to Christ. We'll reap rich blessing for ourselves. And we'll see further blessing and advancement in the work of God and the witness of Christ here in Market Hill. Christ says, not James Porter, not the Free Presbyterian Church, but Christ says, if you're saved in the meeting by the grace of God this morning, he says this about the Lord's table. He says, this do in remembrance of me. Christ also says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let us be faithful in the Lord's Supper until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, until he calls us home to glory.